You literally have to have a calendar like talk about promotion and salary every 6 months. It's the same way that you should have an attitude of looking for a job all the time, even if you have a job. Not to be distracted, but just to know what is happening outside. And it's the same. Just show me the money. There are ways to say it. Like, I want to review, where am I? Like, what is the range? Like, there are ways to say it, but you literally have to have a calendar twice per year. Like, talk to my manager about this. It's the only way. It's the only way. Nobody else will do it for you.
And celebrate your goal. Like, I reached this goal. I reached this other goal. I'm leading. I'm doing. And don't feel afraid.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Latinx in Power. As you know, our podcast has the goal of helping to demystify tech. And the way we do that is by interviewing Latinx leaders all over the world to hear their insights, perspective, and also to know that we are not alone, although we're still the minority working in tech. And we have another surprise, our second bonus episode. I'm super excited about it. I'm bringing a conversation that I had last year with Alma Lopez and Gretchen Rodriguez, part of the She's Tech Conference, which is the biggest conference in Brazil dedicated to women in tech. And we talked more about our journeys in tech and also more details about how we found our voices living here in the United States.
Hi, everyone. Oi, pessoal. It's an immense pleasure to be here again with all of you. I'm a big fan of She's Tech, so I feel really happy to be here and being part of this community. And today for this panel, it's really special to me. I invited two friends and inspirations for me here in Silicon Valley. So we have Alma and Gretchen. So we are going to share a little bit more about our experiences here in Silicon Valley. So I encourage you to ask questions. Gretchen and Alma, they have a lot of experience. They have amazing jobs. So take advantage of that. Ask questions. So without further ado, welcome.
Hi, hey. Gretchen. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Perfect. I want to first ask you both if you can share a little bit about your career, your journey in the United States, and what you do now.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Alma Lopez. I'm a Mexican. I was born, raised, studied in Mexico City. I moved to the Bay Area 21 years ago, looking to reach my dream to work in Silicon Valley. I have a computer engineer degree, so I was super happy. Internet was my tool to be able to get interviews. They made phone calls. Like, they flew me here to companies. I got offer letters and I joined. But one of my friends was the one who inspired me to come here and push me. But it took 9 months to get the visa to arrive here. So this, my first baby, after every month checking with the company, it was approved and I was able to move here. In that time, my friend had to move out of the US. So I arrived here with no friends, no family, and just a job. So no bad, right? But yes, it was totally different. Different culture, no family, no friends. We are so used to this family party. And I remember even received my first paycheck and I was celebrating by myself. It was so funny. But and now I remember it was, wow, this is how you do the thing sometimes. I was doing consultancy work later. I traveled a lot, domestic in US and international. I had the opportunity to be in Brazil for business twice. I love the country. I have a really nice memory of Rio. I was in business trip there when I find out I was pregnant on my first kid. So I call him my little Carioca. Brazil, especially Rio, has a very special place in my family. And later, because of the kids, I had to move to inside job in the R&D, research and development area in the same company. And I was working there for several years. After that, I moved to from the telecommunication CRM area to biotechnology, totally different. But that experience that allowed me to do software development allowed me now to work at Roche, who we are doing software development to work on cloud-based solutions to support patients in my kid research, support tools for researchers, and to find faster cures for cancer. So that's very quick summary of my life. Now you turn, Gretchen.
Thank you, Alma. Well, my name is Gretchen. I was born in Cuba, so my Cuban Spanish accent is very different than Alma. So I left Cuba when I was 16 years old. I moved to Venezuela with my family, just trying to find a new life. We had to leave again because things were not that well back in the country, as you might be aware. aware of. So after that, I moved to Spain. I studied computer science engineering in Venezuela and then moved to Spain to do the MBA and spent around 4 years in Spain just studying and working in the digital world. Back in the years in the 2010, that was a big thing, mobile marketing, mobile, all of that was a big buzz around all of that. So I said, okay, consulting was not that extremely interesting for me at that point. I was working on Deloitte before, and I said, this is a great opportunity to switch to the digital world. So I started to work in Avas Digital, which is one of the big marketing and apps development back in the days in Spain. So after a couple of years there, I always had the big goal or the big dream of speaking the language. I said, okay, the only way to do it is just moving to the US. And that's how we decided to make it happen. We moved to the US in 2013. It's been almost 7 years. No job, no family, crazy people thinking that living in the Silicon Valley was kind of cool. Zero idea about rent, zero idea about anything, but just big and naive mindset. Let's go and do it, no? So I started in the school, the language school, for some months, and they started to look for a job. It took me some time, more than what I thought, but finally I ended up working on eBay, using the Latin America team, building business and growing business for Latin America. And of course, Brazil was one of the biggest markets. So after a couple of years, 5 years on eBay, I said, okay, I think I know pretty much something about e-commerce. Maybe it's time for me to move on to the next big thing. And I thought fintech was going to be that new wave, and I still think it. So I joined Santander Bank, which is quite popular bank in Madrid as well, in Spain and also in Brazil. So what I do now, it's more about creating products, financial and non-financial products for people in the world. So that's how I ended up here. I met Thaisa in the first years of my life here in Silicon Valley. I'm proud of the friendship that we've been able to develop, right? So that's all we try to do here, try to find those people that can help us being together and keep moving one day at a time, right?
Yeah, I love that. I was going to mention that. So I met you in my first year in the United States, and I remember that I was so excited because you're like so inspiring and amazing. And I was like, she's cool. I want to be like her. It's another thing that I feel representation, it's so important. So I could see myself in you, and we're like both Latina. So it was really inspiring to me. And now we are friends, and the full circle of life, it's been interesting. And same thing with Alma. We are part of the Latinas in Tech community. We were part of the same panel that we were talking about our careers. And then we met, and you both were part of my podcast that I also share stories of Latinas in Tech. So it's really interesting, all this journey together.
Yes. And I think that's about that. When you think about Latinas here in the Bay Area or in Silicon Valley, sometimes at the beginning, I will say, okay, I want to also meet other peoples. But after some time, I felt like I definitely need to be close to the family, you know, go back to those moments, being able to talk about those awkward jokes that nobody understands. So trying to just having those breathing moments, no, out of the reality. But yeah, definitely we can talk more about that.
Yeah. And one question they have been asking me a lot lately, and I wanted to ask you that. And how do you feel that Latinas can make an impact? Where do you feel we can have an advantage, like thinking about tech?
I think what we're doing right now is at least one small step, is be here, don't be shy, represent, speak up, and teaching our girls. Could be your daughter, could be your niece. I have sons, so your little nieces, right? Is you can do everything that you put in your mind. Study mathematics, physics, or engineering is just not for men. It's also women. But also what I realized is now that you're working on tech, not only engineers can make it there. Also yeah. Psychologists, also, you know, people who have MBA, people who have work a lot with pathologists, with biologists, with people in HR. It's working on tech as well, right? Recruiting the right people, training the right people. So not just tech, you have to be good in mathematics. I think this is kind of the message that we got as a kids. No, you are big, good. You can sell the product that the engineer is creating, and you're part of tech. because they sell, you can make the videos to promote it. You can work on the marketing part. So it's something else also that I think we need to change that mindset and open the opportunities to the younger people is you can work here too. And that doesn't mean you have to be good in math, because possibly you're not so good in math, but you're good in teaching. You're good in talking about it. You're good in art. You're good in usability. Right now, the products has to have 20 years ago. Nobody talk about usability in the software because the people who were using software were so trained to do that. Now we need products that are able to understand in the beginning that a kid can work with it. So usability is important. And you see the background for these people is on sociology, on psychology, and arts is also, I think we're starting like, hey, guys, you're good in math. Good. You're good in arts. Good. You're good in presentations. Good. You can also work here. It's something else that people say, oh, yeah, I can do that. So I think we should start on that point and tell the girls that they can do whatever they put their mindset. If they can just want to be a mom, good. Awesome. Happy. Teach your kids, you know, they can do whatever they want, because somebody should be behind an astronaut and the best engineer. It was a mom or a dad that was supporting them and cheering them since the beginning. So that was my case. My parents were always pushing and believing in myself. I'm pretty sure in your case as well, because I'm a strong believer that a kid is the reflection of the parents. So I think we can start from that.
Yeah, I agree on that point that Alma said, just to add some color. I see it like in three phases. Now, why are we important here? What do we bring to the table? No, the first one is exactly what Alma says in terms of just saying out loud that it is possible. You don't have to be an engineer to work in Silicon Valley. You can bring other goodness. You can bring other skill set. You don't have to be a doctor because your father is a doctor and your grandparent was a doctor, etc. Here, the industry kind of help us or shake us to think, okay, you can be whoever you want. I have seen doctors, as you mentioned, doctors that were switching to the coding and created all the health and the fintech, all the health tech and all of that is so hot and so trendy now. So one is just being that voice and saying, hey, there is something else. Just jump yourself into the swimming pool if possible. The second, it's more on the ways of working. I think we can bring a different vibe and a different way of working to the room. Like, of course, we can be, of course, super formal, but we can also bring a little less of the seriousness. And I think people at the end appreciate that a lot, particularly when there is stress. You can come with that super awkward laugh or something that people will follow because they need that at that moment. And third one, from the product management, which is what I do now, there is some foundation that we have in ourselves, that it's more about the empathy, about listening, about talking. Like, let's bring all of that to the work. Let's bring that to the interviews with the user. Let's bring that to the conversation with our manager telling, hey, I don't think this should be the way. Let's build this product in this other way, etc. So I think we have that. It's part of our core. As it is our survival mindset, like how we have to react, how we have to move, because that's how we come, like how we exist, now coming from that foundation. So if we bring all of that to the work that we do, it doesn't matter if it's software development, if it's product management, PR, etc. I definitely think that you will do something that is completely differentiated. So it's about believing that. It's about switching that speech, because sometimes we have the other part, like, okay, you are not from here, your accent, whatever. But yeah, that's true. And this is true too. Like, I'm cool, or I don't know, I dance salsa, whatever. So I can bring that to the, I don't know, the next interview with users, like this type of energy. So I think it's about picking what you want to focus on and just go with it. For me, particularly, was very in the beginning when I came here and I saw a bunch of people from, of course, MIT, Stanford, all of that. I got intimidated. I felt like, what am I doing here? So the truth is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your accent. It doesn't matter if you come from a university in Venezuela, if there is someone from Venezuela, from the Metropolitana. Like, who cares? You just bring the best that you can to the table, the attitude, the passion. That's what really matters. And I think more and more, this is those attributes that people appreciate. So just embrace that and have fun with that. That's how I see it.
I love that. And I love that you both mentioned the fact that you don't need to be like to study something technical to work in tech. So you don't need to study like computer science experience to be like a product manager. So you can have like other backgrounds and still work in tech. And I feel that this is something that I felt when I moved to Silicon Valley. And in my case, I saw like a lot of product managers that they were like engineers before. And I was like, oh, I don't have a chance, right? And now, I don't know, I would dare to see that I feel that things are starting to change. I'm seeing more people from different backgrounds, even like arts, working with tech, which is amazing. And I feel that this is how the magic happens, right? When you have like only engineers like building products, you might not create solutions for other folks that are not engineers. But when you have diversity, and not just diversity in people from other countries, other visions, but other professions, I think this is where like the magic really happens and we solve problems. And how did you find your voice since you moved to the US? How was your process?
This in my case, like I said at the beginning, I felt a little, just for a couple of days, I felt a little overwhelmed with just what I said, like, what am I doing here? I don't come from the Ivy Leagues, etc. But then I started to say, you know what? I can bring something else. I can bring, like, particularly in my case, it was easier for me to start working in an environment that needed me. Like eBay at that point was like, okay, we want to expand into Mexico, we want to expand into Brazil, etc. So the way for me to find that voice, particularly at the work environment, was like, okay, I have the insights from the region. You need me to grow the region. You need me to know what people buy. You need me to know like behaviors in general that we probably buy, I don't know, something that is under $10 for the first time in makeup, and then I'll buy something else. Like, okay, what else I can bring to the table in terms of insights and help with that? So for me, it was more about just leaning into what I knew on my history and everything, just bringing to the table to match what the company was needing at that moment. And at the same time, more in the personal part, I tried not to focus on, like I said, this part that is telling you your accent, you're not from here, you will never be from here, whatever. So I try not to focus on that and focus on the other thing. Like, hey, there is a big community that is growing in the US. We are cool. We bring a new opportunity, a new mindset. If you see the numbers of the Hispanic community in the US, the purchasing power that they have now, et cetera, is completely different. So you see there is a segment that you cannot ignore. So how can I shift around and just turn the story around and just bring the value and set a tone that is completely different, no? So for me it was that. And the third one was more about be surrounded by people that help me continue. Like literally, if you are negative or a black cloud or whatever, I'm sorry. Like I cannot continue because I have a lot already. So just find that person that will tell you, hey, you know what? It's cool. Keep pushing. Or that person that works for you, for instance, my previous manager, she's from Brazil, and Juliana, you know her. So we were always laughing about all the crazy things that we were saying or doing or awkward moments, etc. So I think it's more about embracing that and saying, you know what, it's okay. I've been here before. I know how to continue. So those are the things that I did and definitely keep doing, and just being okay with who you are and just keep listening and learning, but being okay with who you are. I think that's the secret for me.
You asked a very good question, believe me. I'm hearing congratulations sometimes. Jack, really, when I found my voice, I'm still on the search. I think during my career, I had some moments that I think I got my voice, but I was all the time surrounded by people not from my culture, very nice people, but not from my culture. As I mentioned, I was traveling a lot, so I didn't have time to do my bonding with friends locally. So I wasn't aware of the Latinos around me. My husband is the second generation, Mexican generation born in US. He was born here, so he's different. He understands me. That's a good part. So until, you know, I was a mom and my kids started going to daycare, but still the community was multicultural. I didn't find people until around maybe 11 years ago that I found a community of Latinas, professional, married with professional. You find yourself with people to support you. You support each other. So I think that was the part that is like, oh yeah, this can be done. You know, they change you up, they always with you, and you feel family similar, their family to your family as well. We are raising, we want the best for the kids. So I think that moment is when I also, my kids were older. I know dealing with younger kids takes a lot of you. So sometimes you have to put your professional life or you yourself on the side. And I don't blame you. I did that. I honestly accepted, but because my priority changed in that moment. It was my my kids first. Now that my kids are old enough, I think I did a good investment. I'm so independent and so well kids that allowed me to go back to school, do my master's, and now develop myself and find my voice and speak it and use it in my new job. Everything that I learned, even with my kids on my previous job, things that were good or not, I am playing here that people really hear my voice. They respect my voice. That's the most important part. I speak and they listen to me. But this, it was a long process that took me here. But one of the switch that I think made, like you say, is you see people similar like you. Like, exactly, I'm not coming from Stanford. I'm not coming from Harvard. I'm not MIT. Yes, but I come from the UNAM, Mexico, and I have people, and they have the same values on the family that maybe they did the same as you did. And somehow we survive, right? Because as a mom, sometimes when younger kids, you are in a survival mode, literally, and juggling work. So my respect for all women who raising kids and working is not easy. And also for women who just decide to go professional also, because they spend long hours. Sometimes my kids is a good reason to stop working. Just to find a balance is hard. But that boy took me a long journey, a lot of experience. But now I'm enjoying it. And exactly, it's Latinas in Tech that I realize on these events, like, oh, they are struggling like me. They are doing things like me. They are facing the same issue like me. And I know you're listening about like a woman gets paid less than a man. So I'm like, oh yeah, so raise your hand, me. And you see all the hands raised, right? You are afraid to apply to a job because you don't feel all the check boxes. When a man check just 40% of boxes and they go and apply. And the people say, well, yeah, this guy is kind of the most qualified they hire. But women, we expect to check 99% of the boxes. That's not possible. Even HR people tell us, no, don't do that because we literally create a unicorn. So if you check 60% of the boxes, it's okay, go and apply. You know, dare yourself. But yes, all this is when I start working like the famous imposter syndrome. And I say, oh, that is cool. Okay, good. I like any illness or anything that you're dealing with. Okay, I recognize I have it. I recognize I do it. How I'm going to fix it? What I need to do? I need to push myself. I need to do this. Be okay with my accent, my Mexican accent in English. Be okay in the way that I, you know, do my working hours because I had to pick up my kids at this time, and don't feel guilty. And I think when you start switching that mindset, the things are coming on your way and new opportunities open. So kind of, why I didn't know this 10 years ago? But you have to live it somehow. So I'm so happy that people here are listening. Bear with you, continue working, but be also good to yourself. I think it's the part that also we have to understand that. When you are good to yourself, like, oh, the things are coming, you are opening to listen up to opportunities that come into you. But it takes some time.
I love that. And I feel that it's so important to find our community. And because of that, I feel organizations like She's Tech, Latinas in Tech are so important because it's a safe space that we can share our learnings, our journey, so we can learn with each other. And we can also understand that we are not alone. And I feel that sometimes some things happen that we feel alone, or maybe we feel that, oh, this is not happening. Oh, maybe I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes we might think, oh, this is not what is happening. I might be, I don't want to say crazy, but I might be inventing that. But then when you talk with someone, no, this happened. This happened. Like, this person doesn't let you to speak in meetings, so we should do something about it. So I think it's so important to create this space. And I also feel that it's all powerful to keep in mind our strengths, and especially in difficult moments that it can be really challenging, especially being a woman, a Latina in tech, especially here that we are like less than 3% of the women, like the people in tech in general, is not just women, but folks in tech. And another thing I wanted to hear your thoughts is that I feel that here, at least like in Silicon Valley, I feel that communication is valued in a different way than it was in Brazil. For example, here, I feel that communication skills, presentation skills, leadership has a huge weight in everything you do. It doesn't like depend on your level. So even if you're like junior, you are expected to present in a certain way and lead in a certain way, that I feel that in Brazil was the expectation was a little bit different. That, and I feel that this can be a huge challenge for someone who has English as a second language, or even in the beginning that we feel insecure. How do you feel about that?
Yes, and actually I was going to mention, because it's also attached to what you talked before, Ty, in terms of finding your voice. I think when I came here, that was one of the things that shocked me the most. Like, I heard everybody saying such a beautiful words. There was always a script, you know, like in a school, you know, like introduction, the body, conclusions. We know that, but the reality is that we go all over intro, they go to conclusions. I led you with half of the conclusions. So I was like, oh my God, this is a real deal. So there is an structure. All of these techniques that you read on the books, like with the body, the other technique with the sandwich, when you want to say something bad to someone and you say two good things and you put something bad in the middle and then you learn the lessons. All of that started to be more exposed, and I was like fascinated with all of this. And if I see myself, like I said, 7 years ago or something, and I see myself now, I'm like, wow, what a difference. Because not only I was able to open that conversation and ask people, hey, can you give me feedback? Or being honest, asking my friends, hey, so I love the way you talk and everything. Like, what do you do? Oh, you should go to the Toastmasters events, for instance. And I started going. I say, okay, I love all this music, the lyrics, how people talk, etc. And again, it doesn't matter if it's English or not. It's just the language, how we talk. I took one of the courses in Stanford, improvisational speaking, that it teaches you how to react and talk in those moments. So I felt hopeful because this is something you can learn. You can practice. The difference is that we don't have that in our countries, not with that level of structures, no? Yeah. So I think that's the second point. And the third one, it's more on how you say the things. Like for me, I remember my first experience on eBay. I was doing a bunch of operations and marketing campaign and all of that. And my manager and the leadership were asking like, hey, how was this campaign or whatever? I was, yeah, it went really well. And they were like, okay, what does it mean? Like, they were expecting me to say a number. They were expecting me to say something. So I learned from that moment, I got obsessed. Like, okay, there is no way that I can say something without putting a number next to it. Not being obsessed, but just bring some color, some dimension. And it's attached to the voice. The way for me to find the voice, to find that voice, was around that, around studying a lot and getting a lot of research to be sure that when I said something, I put a number next to it. Like, okay, next time, how was the campaign? Okay, it went really well. We were able to grow 15% year over year, or we brought more than 10x users. It doesn't matter the numbers. Nobody cares about the numbers. It might be, I mean, people care, yes, but it's a way you say it. If you say to me, okay, we grew 5% versus 50 bips, like, oh, that sounds great. 50 bips is the same. But then it's how you tell the story, how you use the wording, how you kind of massage the way you talk. This is something that is very valuable here. And I wish we had more of that in our countries. That's the only thing. It's kind of that final shape. But it's fascinating. We can learn from here. There are a lot of resources online as well. But if we are able to extrapolate that and take it to our countries, I mean, we are going to rocket like in the next years, because we have all the potential. It's about how we tell the story. Like something that is pretty funny, one of my manager, she's mentioned that once. She said, okay, have you realized that when you go to one of these, like in Las Vegas, no, there is a little thing to show the Titanic. So when you go there, it's literally a piece of the Titanic and that's it. But they put a lot of pictures, the story, and then the person. And then you go to our countries when we have a lot of history and we don't tell the story that way. We just say, okay, just take it for granted. Go to the pyramid, those beautiful pyramids in Mexico, like, yeah, whatever. You say, well, what? This is something that it's been there for years, but someone just took the piece of the Titanic and created such a big thing around that. So it's the same at work. We just have to create a big splash around what we say and what we do. That's the difference. And it's not about lying. It's about telling the story in the right way. And I think that also helps you to find a voice, and it's a retroactive flywheel. So you next time you go stronger. That's what I've learned. And definitely, it's always beautiful to see people with those skills, but you can always learn that.
I totally agree. You know, especially America is so business oriented. So give me the facts. Give me the numbers. I just interacted with my husband. He's in numbers. Oh my God, you Mexican, especially Mexico City, you're so political. You give all around to ask me a question. Ask me the question directly. But sorry, that's not polite. So that's the thing. We come in for, we're very polite, very diplomatic people. Kind of, excuse me to bother you, but can I get this? And he's asked me for that. Yeah, you're bothering me. Do you want me to tell you? So we also had, it's a cultural shock. What you learn with the years is you can observe first. Okay, I can use this piece because that's something very useful. And also put your Latino there because also we cannot forget who we are. And you can see, I like to move my hands. And so many people already point me like, oh, do you do presentation? You do your hands. I was sorry. It's something I cannot hold it.
Yeah.
This is my Latino part. And I have a colleague who is from Italy. And we are the Latino people because he's worse than me. So it's like, we love you guys when you present together because, yeah. Sorry, there's the Latino flavor in these meetings. Just keep part. So, and enjoy it and embrace what you bring to the table because you bring those smiles from other people like, oh my God, this woman. But also like, okay, reduce it. Don't exaggerate. Take it easy. Take a breath. But what I told my kids, right? You had the opportunity to be in two worlds, in the Mexican world and the American world. American world is not perfect. Mexican world is not perfect. Take the best of both and make it yours. And I think exactly the same in business. Just kind of, I see presentation from American people like boom, boom, boom. And you're falling asleep. But, you know, and you see some awesome speakers that just, even the body language, you are like, you just see him get into the room and you're, oh my God. So it's so good. So just be yourself, work on that. Sometimes like, don't move too many hands, you know, kind of deep. This properly,
speak it
slowly, spoon the numbers, and don't go so many rounds, just one round, not too many.
Well, you said, Alma, like, it's not that we are from here or from here. We are from here and from here. Like, it is okay to have both. Like, imagine I'm Cuban, the Cuban family. So we say, yeah, the best food is the Cuban. I'm like, you have no idea. You haven't tried a Peruvian food, like the sushi. Why are you guys saying? So you are missing a lot. Like, yes, it's nice. And this is nice too. So I think that's the biggest difference when you notice, like, okay, we're born here, but I'm from whoever I want to be. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not restrictive from one place or the other, no? I think that's a very important piece.
Amazing. So Thiago is asking, where did you find motivation to keep giving your best, working hard besides all adversities when you came to the U.S.?
I think my motivation is my family, it's my kids. You know, I have boys, so I don't know how it would be if I would be a girl, but for them, it doesn't matter. It's a woman can do whatever they want. I don't feel guilty if they are washing dishes and I'm watching my TV. It's, I'm sorry, I'm working, I cook for you. It's time you to do the dishes. Or if I go outside with my friends to have a, well, before pandemic, of course, to have a cup of coffee and my husband and them are cleaning the house. I'm sorry, I did my job on a weekday or I didn't early in the morning. So I teach them, or we teach them, my husband and I, kind of, a man and a woman can wash dishes, can be an engineer, can work hard, can change the oil in the car you need it, but, you know, work hard in the office or not. But it's women and men can do the same. I think they are my main motivation to work hard. My parents, with everything that they teach me, you know, with the values that they have, with the support that I receive from them. And I think all the Latinas that are around you is also my motivation. Like, we need to do better. I think we are doing a good job in 21 years in U.S. I see we going maybe slowly, but we are progressing. Latinas in tech was really good and it's growing. And I see more women interested in STEM. I see more kids more interested in and want to do and reach college. So that's good. The numbers, again, in U.S., they are saying that Latinos, especially Latinas, are getting educated. And that's the secret to advance here or anywhere. Get an education.
I agree. My case, yeah, the motivation is pretty much the same. The family, helping my parents in whatever I can, and with just giving them those moments of joy, like, oh, this is cool that you met this person or you're working in this company. Sometimes it's difficult to explain your parents what you do, but you say, okay, I work here. They say, oh, that's cool. They have no idea what you're doing. It's kind of cool, but in my case, I'm a very geek person and I'm very passionate also. But that connection between people and purpose and technology, right? Like design, for instance, learning about design, learning about new technologies, all of that. So that keeps me going all the time. So if I feel stuck in one thing, if some piece of the, what I'm doing, it's boring or whatever, I just say, okay, this is the percentage of the work that I don't like. Let me see what is that 1 or 2% that I can lean in, bring on a smile at the end of the day. Just learning, I don't know, quantum. Let me learn about the edge computing. Maybe I can know what is the new design colors that I can apply. Just have fun, because anyways, you have to keep going. The only way forward is going through, no? So just trying to spice things a little bit. If you feel stuck, breathe, keep going, and just try to have fun. That's the only thing that I've been able to keep over the years.
I love that. And what advice would you give to someone who wants to work in tech or wants to move to Silicon Valley? What would you say to this person, like as a next step?
In my case, I'll say it real quickly. It's about networking. Like, yes, it's great to send resumes. It's great to wait for a company to call you. But guess what? Just go to all the events that you can go. I remember when I was in the phases of looking for a job, I was working with a coach and he said, Gretchen, because I was going only to the tech events. He said, you know what? No, go to the craftsmanship events because you can find the person there too. And I said, oh my God, that's true. It's about networking. So I think it's about networking in general. And at the same time, see how you can extrapolate your experience with what you are doing here, not what you will be doing or facing. I'll give you an example, right? I was doing product management in Spain, but that name didn't exist as itself. So when I came here, it took me some time. I struggled a lot to find who am I? Like, what am I doing? I was always saying, like, I wish I were a lawyer. I knew what I was doing, but I'm this person that is a hybrid between tech, product, everything. So it took me some time to understand the role. And then after I understood, I was able to map out what I wanted to do. So I think those two pieces, network like crazy, inside out, just ask people, do you have 5 minutes for catch up, whatever. People are genuine itself. I can tell you, and people like to talk about themselves. So you can always start like, hey, tell me about your experience. And then from there, you start looping. That's one. And the second is try to identify what am I doing and why do I want to do it? What keeps me like passionate about? Not only because sometimes you can say, okay, it's the economical, the financial piece of it. Yeah, that's okay. But what else is keeping you with that passion? Because that passion is the things that will keep you, the spark, it will keep you moving. It will stay with you forever. So find that and that's it. And say it to the world, I want this, I want this. Someone will hear you and will help you. I think that's the only way.
Networking is key. And networking is the way that I met you guys. So that's totally key. And I saw just a comment and it comes together. They say, if Latina, we had to work as hard. I think as a woman, not just Latina, as a woman, we need to work harder. One of the reasons that I left Mexico is because the difference between women and men in that time, it was very strong. And I was, you know what? I'm not going to grow here. I'm going somewhere else. Besides, my dream was Silicon Valley. But here I see the women, we are really good. So having in my project, half of the staff that are working on the different roles and my expert in DevOps is women. So I'm super happy that my experts are good and we represented and we get along very good. Because another myth is women together, they cannot work. It's a myth, it's a lie. So yes, we work hard, but I think we have to work more smart. And also we need to learn that. It's something that we don't get teach in a school either. We need to get smarter. You are not teaching that. You don't get that from a school. You learn it in experience in your life. So I can tell working smart is just ask a question. Don't be shy. Speak up. You know, if you see the project is going down, well, it's hard, but well, come on, let's do it. That's the reason that you earn the respect. That's the reason, you know, oh yeah, she knows what she's talking about. So that part of the smart is the part that is not working harder. It's just know and realize when is the opportunity to do it. So that's also how to look at balance. You don't need to raise your hand every single time. But if that means you need to work harder, pay attention, what's going on, where are we going to really identify the goal of the project, the goal of the week as a team, and be able to lead and do it. If you think you're a leader, go ahead and do it. If you're gonna have mistakes, well, everybody has mistakes. So I think that's the part that we need to say, I can do it and do it. If that means you need to work hard because you need to get that up to speed, that somebody who's been doing that since day number one, yeah, you have to work harder. But I think men, on the way that they are, and I can see raising boys, they are not afraid. We are more cautious.
conscious by nature. The kids start destroying an experiment. And we even know we are delicate. We are more like, okay, no, I don't want to destroy it. So I think just we have also to embrace our nature because we are good women, because we can do many things. We are good leaders. We can expect, okay, okay, this is dangerous. We don't go to this side. You had the sixth sense. You are more sensible on that part. Take advantage and put it on the job. But again, sometimes it's hard for me to understand that women, I don't think about like, oh my God, I need to work twice as a man. No, I need to learn to be able to think like him because I don't think like him. I don't feel like him. So yeah, I need to work on that. Like men, they had to be sometimes more cautious. They had to work on that as well. But yes, yeah. Unfortunately, we live in a demanding world that you need to be praiseless. And again, if a woman do that, oh my God, she's crazy. You know, and a man knows like, oh no, he's God strong and independent. And you, what about a woman?
They've been hunting for years and we've been at home preparing the food. Now it's how to switch that. Hunting more for us is pretty different, but we have to do it.
Yeah, and kind of like the way we are socialized plays a huge part on that. So we are socialized in a way totally different than men. And also we live in a sexist society. And unfortunately, we are trying to change that. We are like so behind. And at the same time, if like a woman does something, the man does the same thing, the society, people will see them as like different. And I really like what you mentioned about working smarter. Not just working harder, but working smarter in a sense that choose what you can work that is going to bring you more impact, not just what you love to do sometimes. Sometimes it's a combination of what is bringing you more impact. And also keep in mind of things that it might be not too natural for us. For example, I was reading an article talking about self-promotion and how men does that more than women. And it's not self-promotion, it's talking about our accomplishments. And we need to start to talking about our accomplishments, talking about numbers, talking about the impact, talking about what we can bring to the table with your manager, thinking about like career, like growth plans and having your manager accountable for that and our team members and having those difficult conversations that for us might be not natural or common. So we need to start doing that.
It has to happen all the time. You literally have to have a calendar like talk about promotion and salary every 6 months. Yeah. The same way that you should have an attitude of looking for a job all the time, even if you have a job. Not to be distracted, but just to know what is happening outside. And it's the same. Just show me the money. There are ways to say it. Like, I want to review, where am I? Like, what is the range? Like, there are ways to say it, but you literally have to have a calendar twice per year. Like, talk to my manager about this. It's the only way. It's the only way. Nobody else will do it for you.
And celebrate your goal. Like, I reached this goal. I reached this other goal. I'm leading. I'm doing. And don't feel afraid. Again, it took me years to build that confidence because it's a confidence. This time, my manager said, I wanted... He says, my job is help you because if you don't give me the elevator speech that I need to give for you, there is no tool that can help you to promote you. Okay, good, no problem. That's my job. We had also to own that.
Put others. I'm also to talk. One thing that I do is that I work with people or partners, etc. I said, hey, can you send to my manager? How was everything working together? And then saying the experience, the person replied to my manager. I said, don't keep me on CC. Just reply to them. Because, you know, sometimes someone hear about you from another person, there is even more impact. So yeah, you have to build your case. You have to have all that set of email of people talking good things from you. Every 6 months, you sit and say, hey, look what I did. Look what I did. Your note with impact. Here, I was able to unlock this. And it doesn't have to be just sending a skyrocket to the moon. You just can say, okay, I was able to fix this. Or I was able... But keep your track, bring your story, and just put it in the calendar. I want to talk about money. I want to talk about my career, etc. It is the only way. And in my case, for instance, I learned that from one of my leaders on eBay. She said, you know what? When I go and have this conversation, I don't think about me. I think about my family, my kids. And I do the same. I think about them. I'm the one pretty much providing for them. I say, you know what? I think on that. And then I go and empower myself and do it. If you feel uncomfortable talking with you in mind only, think about the people that depends on you, that you love, etc., and go for it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So great learnings today. I think like one thing that is important, put a number next to everything you do, show your impact. Don't be afraid. Have your list of your accomplishments. Think about your career growth and talk with your manager and have allies. And don't be afraid to be yourself, right? You want to add anything? We have 1 minute left.
Have fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, go for happy hour when it's possible.
Yes.
Make the bonds with your team, because when you make the bonds with the people that you work, it's easier, even negotiation, because you know, like, oh, can I? Okay. Oh, I own your drink. And yeah, it's another excuse to go back. So it's make it friendly. And we Latinos have that. Yeah. So let's take advantage of that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was cool.
Obrigada, gente.
Thank you.